I appreciate getting to be in Sunday school. Josh and them's on vacation, so you've got a substitute today. And like every other substitute, we'll try not to mess up the whole class. Amen. You got your Bible. Let's open up to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. The book of Genesis, chapter number 12. I'm going to start and give you just a little thought. Try to make my way through this thing. And try to be a blessing to the people of God. And honestly, I'd forgotten that Brother Joshua was going to be gone till later in the week, or Brother Adam Beatty would be teaching this class this morning. And I didn't want to throw that on him there toward the end. I've had this burning in my heart, so I thought this would be a good time. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I'll show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And that'll be where we'll stop our reading. Here's really what I'd like to look at this morning. And I want to sort of make sure that everybody's on the same term. Probably one of the greatest things that we'll ever figure out in this Bible is, what is Bible salvation? What's it look like? What is it? Where do we get it? How does it come to be? And in our day, there's really two main schools of thought. And one of them, what we would term as Calvinism, and the other would be Arminianism. And so Calvinism came in the days of the Reformers, with John Calvin and his 5 points. That's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning. And then later on, Jacob Arminius came up with the 5 points, really in response to the 5 points of Calvinism, and he called that Arminianism. And you may not be necessarily familiar with both of those terms, but Calvinists would have what we would call no will, meaning if you're a Calvinist, there will be a time you will be saved. And then on the other side, in Fentress County, the Arminius would be what we would call free wills. And they would be really two major divisions in this line of salvation. They would come over and they would be either free wills or they would be no wills. They would be Calvinists or they would be Arminians. And you say, "Preacher, what are you?" I'm neither. I'm neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian. Jacob Arminius did not die for me, and neither did John Calvin. Jesus Christ died for me, so I'm a Christian. Amen. And I'll show you. We'll deal with Calvinism this time. Maybe some other time I'll deal with Arminianism, and we'll show you probably the fallacy in both of them. Now, the reason that I wanted to start in Genesis chapter number 12 is Genesis 12 and Abraham is where all Calvinists would point to try to prove their point of Calvinism. So what I would like to do is I would like to take their poster child and show you through his life why Calvinism is a fallacy. Now, there are 5 major points to Calvinism, and they're in an acronym called TULIP. And I would say this, I always think about this every time I think about TULIP. And they all like Arthur Pink and that sort of thing. And I always think about an old preacher back home named Bates Pennycuff. He's a big man. And Bates Pennycuff said, "What kind of man likes pink or flowers?" Amen. And that's what he would say anytime you was talking about Calvinism. So there's 5 major points of Calvinist doctrine. And it follows down the line, TULIP. Brother Hatch, that was in no regard to what you're at this morning. Or anybody else. That don't have nothing to do with that, okay? I'm just telling you what Bates Pennycuff said. I don't mind that. But he had 5 points, TULIP, TULIP. And the T stood for total depravity. The U stands for unconditional election. The L stands for limited atonement. The I stands for irresistible grace. And the P stands for the perseverance of the saints. That's the 5 points of Calvinism. I went through that a little fast, and I'll come back through that as we go down through them one by one. Here's what I would tell you. Just like with every doctrine that is not correct, there is always a hint of truth that would lend you to believe that. And so with the 5 points of Calvinism, every second word is right and every first word is wrong. Y'all listen to me? So we don't believe in total depravity, but we do believe in depravity. Depravity means that you by your nature are ruined and wicked. That's a Bible doctrine. Psalms chapter 51, verse number 5, you were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. You are wicked whether you like that or not. Amen. And the sooner you come to terms with the fact that you are wicked in your nature, you are wicked. Listen, if you were left alone to your own devices and you didn't have the constraint of all the social things that surround you and you didn't have the constraint of the Holy Ghost, it's untelling what you would do. Amen. That's right. You say, preacher, it's not in me. It was in Adam. It was in Cain. It's in you. Same nature. Romans chapter number 5 teaches us we all have the same disobedient nature as Adam had. Yours is no different. Mine's no different. Boy, we like to think our boys is real good. Like to think our girls is real good. They're all wicked. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Nobody ever does much. But it's right. The problem why some folks don't ever think they need to be saved, they've been told how good they are their whole life. Say, oh, they're good. My kid wouldn't do that. They're good. They're good. Then they come to church and the preacher says, you're wicked. And they say, that's not right. Don't matter what really much what I say, Bible says, none good. That's what he said. Is that right? None. How many is that? Let's just make sure we're all on the same terms. I'm from Scott County, and listen, my mom is a math teacher. I think none, zero. Zero. That's why when you come in the house of God, you know you don't have to fold up your wings and lower down your halo to get in here. You came in the same way I did, amen. And even though God saves you on the inner man, you still deal with that same wicked flesh. I'm going to have to move on. I ain't never going to get there, amen. First thing we find is this, is that you are depraved. Just not totally depraved. I'll come back and I'll look at that. I'm going to go over them real quick and I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you a Bible for why I'm not a Calvinist. Amen. Why the church ain't Calvinist and why if you're a Calvinist, you're in the wrong place. How's that? Amen. Number two, we have the second word of that is unconditional election. What that simply means by their terminology is God chooses in his sovereign knowledge who will and who won't be saved. He goes down the line. He says they're in, they're out. They're in, they're out. This family's in, that family's out. So who is it? Who gets in, who gets out? Amen. I always find it funny. Everybody in the Calvinists, their family's always saved. They're always saved. Their family's always saved. You're the folks who ain't chosen. Amen. Now, we do believe in election. We believe in election according to the foreknowledge of God. God understands and knows who is going to get in, who is not going. God's all-knowing. He knows everything at all points and times. Amen. He knew your decision before you was ever formed. And you say, well, then why would he allow somebody to be born who wasn't going to accept him? It's your free will. The price has been paid, good neighbor. God done everything he's going to do. All right, so we believe in election, just not unconditional. Right? We believe in depravity, just not total depravity. I'm going to go back and prove this to you. Then the third thing, the L stands for limited atonement. A Calvinist would believe that the price that was paid on Calvary was only for those who will believe, the elect. But what I believe is, I believe in atonement, period. I believe when God paid a price on Calvary, he paid it for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Amen. Thank God. I thank God. Listen, I'm sure glad when he paid one price one time, he paid it for all men. That's what he says. Ain't that right? For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so thank God, listen, God offered himself up one time. That's the only price ever need to be paid. Never had to pay it for nobody else. So that's the fourth one, irresistible grace. That is, if you are chosen, there will be a point in time in your life when the grace of God on your life will be so strong you cannot resist it. That's what they say. Really, honestly, it only makes sense to me. They say, well, now we still believe in preaching. Why?
Yeah, that's
right. We still believe in witnessing. Why? If God really did call, if God really did choose us all, and it is irresistible, and it's already been determined, literally, no matter what I hear, I'm in or out, Hoss. But that's, the Bible goes on to say faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So it appears to me that there is a reason for we to stand and preach. Appears to me there's a reason for missions. Reason to go door knocking. because they ain't heard. God says, if they do hear. I was talking to a fella one time about this, and listen, I don't, over here, I didn't even know what a Free Will Baptist was until I moved to Jamestown. They're everywhere here. We didn't have not none in Scott County. There's not one Free Will Baptist church. I'm not, look here, there's, don't get caught up in, on what I'm saying. I understand there's Free Will Baptists, and they're saved, and they're great men, and probably far better people than I ever hoped to be being. I'm not, that's not my point this morning. I just hadn't ever dealt with that till I came here. But in Scott County, there's Calvinists on every tree. Shake it and want to fall out. Deal with Calvinists a lot. And the Calvinists would say things like this. They would, I was talking to one time, and he said, now, Brother Kevin, he said, we hold God in a higher esteem than you do. And I said, okay. I said, well, help me out with that statement. And he said, like with my kids. He said, I started praying to God before my wife ever got pregnant. I said, God, if you see that my kids ain't going to be chosen, don't let my wife get pregnant or have those kids. And so I scratched my stubble for a second, and I said, hold on a second. I said, you know what the only problem with what you said? I said, you just told me that you hold God in a higher regard than I do, and you pray this prayer and said, Lord, if my kids ain't going to be chosen, don't let them be born. I said, I never did pray that prayer. And he said, what? I never did pray that prayer. I said, I feel like if God gave me 15 kids and I got 15 kids under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe God would save all 15 kids. Don't you get it? I just believe this Bible is enough that I didn't have to pray that prayer. Now, I've been praying for their salvation, but I really do believe if God gave me 15 kids, I don't have to pray about who's chosen. I just got to get them under the sound of the gospel, and the gospel's powerful enough to reach down to where they're at, bring them unto Christ. I also believe this. I believe that you can resist the grace of God, and I've seen it. I've said, again, I'm going to give you a Bible for all this. This is an overview of where we're at right now. I have said in the house of God, I've said in this church house. I've told you this. There's been several folks that I preached the last message they ever heard, standing right here. One of them I think about all the time was in the old building. He sat two rows up from the back left. He sat there. The Holy Ghost was on him. God was convicting his heart. Listen, friend, I mean, God was dealing with him. And it wasn't just 2 weeks later, he is dead. And he stood right there. That's right. You do remember, don't you, brother? Sit right there, resisted the Holy Ghost. I think of another man that, I mean, in this, I go on. That's not the point. I'm going to have to move on. But I have watched, and listen, if you'll be honest, there's been times God's dealt in you and you've resisted him. Can we all be honest about that? I mean, you've sat in the house of God, the Holy Ghost come by your way. And as God came by your way, he knocked on your heart. They got to dealing with things in your heart, and you said, not today. Oh, yes. See, that's the only problem with Calvinists is Calvinists don't even believe what they say. Amen. They've sat in the house of God and resisted the same grace of God that you have. That's right. Then the last thing they would say would be this. They believe in the perseverance of the saints. This is what they say. The only people that really are saved are the people who continue all the way to the end. Right? Boy, that don't even sound right. I feel like whenever God saved me right when he saved me. Don't you think that's right? And now listen, I know it's going to make some of you nervous, but I promise you we'll look at what the Bible says on it. We're going to look at what the Bible says in the life of Abraham. Because everybody always says, well, what are you going to do with Abraham? God chose Abraham. God picked Abraham. What are you going to do about Abraham? Well, I'm going to look at Abraham today. We'll see how that works. Amen? I fear that's best. So, all right. So, if you got your Bibles open, Genesis chapter number 12, we're going to start again. The very first thing we find in Genesis chapter number 12, we're looking at, first of all, total depravity. When God called Abraham, was Abraham in a state of total depravity? We understand he was wicked, but here's what they would say. They'd say something like this. They'd say, dead men don't respond. And they use good analogies, and they make sense. And they'll say, if a dead man's in a casket, you go poke that dead man all you want to, you stick that dead man all you want to, you talk to that dead man all you want to, and that dead man will never respond. And everybody says, oh, wait a second. That makes sense. Only problem is, that's not what we're talking about in the Bible. There are very clearly men in the Bible who are dead men that respond back to God. Matter of fact, the very first man in the Bible was a dead man who responded back to God. Genesis chapter number 4, you ain't got to turn there. Genesis chapter number 3, you remember what God said? Now listen, either God's a liar or somebody else is. But here's what God said on matter. He said, in the day you eat that fruit, what'd he say? Now, do we believe God or not? Yes. When he ate that fruit, was he dead? Yes. Absolutely. That day, that man became a two-natured man, and his nature became dead. Later on that very same day, it said God came walking in the cool of the day, and he called out to Adam, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam responded back to God as a dead man. We're not taught lessons. All right. Second example, just so we're clear on it. Luke chapter number 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Very clearly, we find a picture of the father. We find a picture of religion. We find a picture of the prodigal who went the wrong way. You remember what he said? So the son was off in a foreign country. He's down eating with the hogs. While he's down eating with the hogs, the Bible says he came to himself. And he said, in my father's house, he said, there's enough bread to perish. He said, you're yet and I perish with hunger. He said, I believe I'll arise, go back to my father's house. So whenever he gets up and he goes to his father's house, his father comes and beats him. You remember what he tells the young brother? He said, he says, go kill the fatted calf. He said, for this my son who was dead. He was dead. Let me ask you this, did he respond to God or not? Is that right or not? Did he respond to God or not?
Yeah.
So here's what a Calvinist would say. You can't respond to God. And so the only way you can respond to God is God comes and regenerates you, and now you can respond to God. Regeneration is when he gives you faith and grace, and then you respond back to God. That's not what the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to show you this. Let me ask you this. When did Abraham get saved? Let's see. That's an interesting question. Don't you think that? Wouldn't it be something if we could figure out just exactly when he got saved? Wouldn't it be something if the Bible told us when he got saved? It does. Pretty amazing thing. Romans chapter, you don't turn there. Stay where you're at. I'm just going to read this to you. Romans chapter 4. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 4, verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Bible salvation. Amen. He believed God, he got righteousness. Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
Ain't that what Bible salvation looks like? Yep. Wouldn't it be something if we knew when that happened in Abraham's life?
Right.
We do. What a coincidence. Praise God in heaven shows us when that happens. When does it happen? It don't happen in Genesis 12. It don't happen in Genesis 13. Don't even happen in Genesis 14. Happens in Genesis 15. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, well, listen, again, it don't really matter what I think, really. Let's just open up your Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says about this thing. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen.
That's what God said. When he gets saved, well, we find Romans 4 said it when he got saved. Genesis 15 shows when he got saved. So what happened between Genesis 12 and Genesis 15? If this man was a dead man who didn't get saved in Genesis 15, we sure find a dead man responding to God in Genesis 12. Everybody listen to me, all right there. We find a dead man in Genesis 12 responding to God. Not saved, but responding to God. So you come and you get light from God, God will give you more light. God gave him light, brought him out of the earth of the Chaldees. God gave him more light, God gave him more light. Then God gave him light and he said, I believe God. And God said, that's righteousness.
Amen.
I'm just looking what the Scripture says. That's what the Bible teaches. So if there's folks, they start throwing over there and start going back to Genesis chapter number 12, they'd say, man, that fella right there said he was chosen, just chapter number 12. God moved on him and called him out of the Chaldees. There's absolutely no denying that fact. But I'm telling you, in Genesis chapter 12, there had not been no regeneration until Genesis chapter 15 when he got born again by the grace of God. All the Scripture before that, you have a dead man who is responding to God. And every time we come in the house of God and we got youngins come up and they start singing and God deals in their heart and they come up praying, you know what they're doing? They are dead men and women responding to God.
Amen.
That's
And then one day, saving faith transpires. Amen. All right, well, I feel like I lost some of you on that one, but I'm going to move on to the next one just for the sake of time. One, there's total depravity, which we obviously see in Abraham's life. That is not the case. Secondly, we see unconditional election. They say Abraham was chosen above everybody else. Only the people that's chosen go to heaven. If you ain't chosen, you're out, sauerkraut. Saying if you are chosen, you're in. All right, now listen. Y'all remember what the command of God was in Genesis chapter 12? This is what he told Abraham. He said, Abraham, get out of that country and get away from your kindred. Now, if God chose Abraham, we got a problem because Abraham wasn't the only fella who went. Who went with him? Lot. Who'd God tell Abraham to get away from? Now, if God chose Abraham but he didn't choose Lot, you got a problem. Everybody stay tuned. I'm about to shout, and y'all staring looking at me like, we want this thing to go over. We got a big problem in the life of Abraham now because God chose Abraham, but God didn't choose Lot. So did Lot get in or not? If God chose Abraham, Abraham's in. Lot, you're out. That ain't what the Bible says, though, is it? That's right, thank God. That ain't what the Bible says about the matter. It don't matter what you think. What matters is what the Bible's got to say on the matter. There's a man who was not chosen who went with Abraham. He was called to get away from him. Lot said, I'm going with you, Hoss. And when he got around the faith of the God of heaven and he was around it long enough, listen, you know what happened in his life? He got put in the same family Abraham was in. God testifies of it himself. Calls him a just man. Calls him a righteous man. So Lot gets in even though Lot was out. Hallelujah. I'm glad Lot didn't go through the Calvinists to find out if he could get in or not. They'd have said, you're not chosen. He'd said, chosen or not, I'm a going, praise God. He said, I don't know how y'all do this duck, duck, goose business. He said, but I heard the gospel and I'm in, amen. This ain't one in, one out, thank God. Listen, if you'll respond to the gospel, you can get in. And if you don't, you're out. I don't care about anything else. Everything else don't matter. Right? Listen, let me give you another example while I'm here. while I'm here in this place. I just got thinking about unconditional election. Ain't it something? I mean, bear with me. I love the Lord so much and the way he does things. So in John chapter number 1, we find that the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man completely. But then he says he came to his own received him not. They rejected him. But then he said to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them believe on his name. So he came to everybody generally. He came to those that believe on him particularly. Right? What about John chapter number 3? John chapter number 3, he came to one man individually, Nicodemus. Right? But while he's talking to Nicodemus, you've got John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that... Boy, I like that word. Listen, and don't you put a word before that word. It's not a whosoever. It's not an whosoever. It's not the whosoever. That word is whosoever. That's a Calvinist trick. And it's the same trick Mormons use sometimes. Ain't that right, brother? They put a word in front of other words to change the whole definition of the word. And they'll say, man, I want to thank God I'm an a whosoever. No, 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 no. That's not how that works. You're either whosoever or you ain't, thank God. And when God said whosoever, guess who he meant? Whosoever. I'm not no dummy, thank God. I know what whosoever means. I may not understand what a lot of words mean, but I know what that word means. That's John 3. John 4. What about John 4? John 4, he cares so much about an individual sinner that he said he must needs go through Samaria. But then while he's sitting on the well, he said, whosoever shall drink of this water. Right? What about John chapter 5? He came to the impotent man who Brother York so beautifully preached the other night. He came to the impotent man, one man. But it says whosoever gets in the water. It's almost like over and over the Lord wants to know. Here's me coming to one person, but I want you to know it's whosoever. He does it in John 3. He does it in John 4. He does it in John 5. What about John 11?
John 11, he came to one dead man, Lazarus. But he said, whosoever believeth in me shall have life. Amen. Hey, thank God. I'm glad, listen, he might just come. There'll be a time that he will call on an individual, deal with you individually about your sin. But the call is whosoever will, let him come. I didn't write the Bible. I just believe what it's saying. The Spirit and the bride say come. Let him that hears come. Him that thirsts come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever. Whosoever. I'm glad I got a whosoever gospel. Ain't that a blessing? You know, so you can take the whosoever gospel and you can go anywhere. I can't take an whosoever gospel and go everywhere because I don't know if they're chosen or not. I always found this. Listen to me. This is always this. I'm just telling you what I've told Calvinists before. I'm not trying to be ugly toward anybody. Now you understand that. That's not my intention. I get labeled like that, but I'm not trying to be. That's just my nature. All right. do with it whatever you want to. I'm just passionate about where I stand at, okay? Everybody all right with that? But listen, I was talking to one fellow and I said, here's the craziest thing to me. I said, about every Calvinist I met is real smart. Every Calvinist I meet is doing real good in life. I mean, they're wealthy. Most of them is doing real, real well in life. Highly intelligent, really wealthy people. Ain't it? You know what the only problem with that is? Let me ask you this. When Jesus was walking on the earth, who was he walking with? Was it those highly intelligent, wealthy people? What was it they said about them disciples over there in the book of Acts? Said when they had perceived the boldness of Peter and John, he said they took knowledge of them that had been with Jesus. They said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. Man, old Peter, one time in the temple, he emptied out his pockets like this. He said, silver and gold have I. None. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't even like the crowd the Calvinists keep. When I look at the Bible and who Jesus hung around with, the crowd Jesus hung around with don't look nothing like the crowd they're hanging around with. That's right, that's right, that's right. So I can take the whosoever gospel and I can go wherever. Amen. Preach whosoever. Right. Go in the jailhouse, take this same gospel. Right. Say, I don't care about your past, don't care where you've been, don't care any of those things. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven, change your future. Right. I can take this right here and we can go down to Carm, we can go visit the homeless people and say, listen, I don't know about where your house is at right now, but I can promise you there's a better house and a better day coming. Amen. Amen. And they say, preacher, they say, you don't understand. If God loved me, why do the things happen? Well, the very proof that God loves you is that somebody's standing there with you trying to present you the gospel. God never intended to save our lives right here. Intended to save your life, take you to a better place in heaven. Amen. You might have the worst life imaginable. That just makes the gospel all the better. Amen. I can't tell you. So I'm not a Calvinist because I don't believe in total depravity, and I'm not a Calvinist because I don't believe in unconditional election. Every time I stand in this pulpit and I look at whoever comes in this church, no matter what they look like, where they've been, I really do believe there's a God in heaven that would save them and make them as much and do for much of them as they did for the Apostle Paul. And if I didn't believe that, I'd just quit preaching. I mean, listen. I'm honest with you. If I thought, man, I'm going to come to the house of God today, and it's untelling who's chosen in there and who ain't. Right. Amen. Good preaching. I'm going to tell you how sad this is. What a sad gospel that Calvin is. I saw one fellow the other day, and his daughter got three kids, I think he does, maybe four. And I saw one the other day, and he's got two of his kids are saved. He's got three. Two of his kids are saved, and one of them's in their 30s and not. I said, man, I said, we praying for? And he said, man, I guess she just wasn't chosen. You imagine walking through your life. I mean, just everybody stay tuned right here. Walking in the house of God every day, sitting next to somebody that's in your family every day, saying, they're just damned. They're not chosen. Man, God, I want to thank you that two of my kids are chosen, but one of them wasn't. And that's just life. What? What?
Are y'all, I mean, is that? Listen, whenever I thought I had two saved and one wasn't, you know what I was doing? I was fasting. I was praying. I was getting on my face before God. I'm like, God, move on that fella. God, do something for him, thank God. And you know what I felt like? Listen, I didn't know when it was going to be. I didn't know if it was going to be when he's 10, when he's 20, when he's 30, when he's 40. But I do know I know whom I have believed. Amen. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So I gave them to him, and I'm trusting God going to give them back. Amen. Thank God. Then one night, hallelujah, by the good grace of God, we up here rejoicing over our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And guess whose name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Talking to Davis on the way home, or on the, he came in, he was talking about, we was talking about soccer and life and all those sort of things. He said, Dad, he said, about lost it whenever Elijah and Zach and Evan all stood up at the same time. I said, you about lost it. Thank God. Hallelujah. He said, I just thought, God, what a Savior. So I don't believe in that. I reject unconditional election. I absolutely wholeheartedly reject limited atonement. It's dumb. That's as kind as I know how to say that it's dumb. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he is not just the propitiation for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Say, preacher, what does world mean? Hold on to your hats. It's going to be a deep definition.
Praise the Lord.
World. That means he paid for everybody's sins. Say, preacher, can you prove it? Absolutely. You know, one of the best types of Jesus Christ in the entire Old Testament is found in the story of Ruth and Boaz. One of my favorite places is when it says, Boaz said, ye all are witnesses this day. He said, I have bought all that pertain to Elimelech, all that pertain to Mahlon, all that pertain to Chilion. He said, what was theirs, I bought it. Paid for it all. Paid for every last bit of everything that was theirs. You know who that included? That included Orpah. Man alive. Orpah died, no doubt, and went to hell. And when she woke up in hell, she realized she was paid for by a kinsman redeemer. He paid for it. Paid for it. And you're here lost or saved. He paid for you.
Amen.
Ransom has been paid in full. Thank God, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Hey, listen, of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ain't a blessing to get to be here tonight and to know that whenever Christ, hey, that song they wrote, it is well with my soul. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, that my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it's well with my soul. He paid for it. Golly. We ought to be a little more excited about that, don't you guess?
Amen.
I mean, listen. If today I went Monday, and it ain't going to happen. But if I went Monday and I said, all right, I'm going to pay off everybody's debt. House is paid for. Car's paid for. Loans paid out. Right. Hey, hey, that's it, that's it, that's it. We'd come back in the next service, they'd say, well, I'm not trying to boast on Brother Kevin, but I just want to thank God that he paid my debt. And every time he seen me, whatever I said and whatever I asked him, he said, brother, it's done. You paid my debt. And thank God there was a God in heaven that left heaven, came down on this earth, and paid out our debt. Amen. A debt that we could not pay, a debt we couldn't afford. Listen, you could live 10,000 lives and would never live good enough to pay your own debt out.
God came down and thank God on the cross in 6 hours paid you out, friend. Didn't put you in layaway. He didn't postpone it. I'm talking about thank God transaction happened. God in heaven accepted what was paid and you were paid out. Amen. And then we come in the house of God. Say, man, anybody happy about being here? I mean, you'd think the least probably we'd do is we'd come in and say, thank you, Lord. You say, preacher, I don't like to talk in front of everybody. Okay, hey, I'll give you that. You know, you can talk around an altar and just talk to you. I mean, not even, nobody even hear you. But I'll promise you this. If on top of me paying off your debt, let's say you found out tomorrow that Jeff Bezos died and you was his sole inheritant, you inherited however many billions of dollars that is, you'd at least smile. Come in, thank God. Say hallelujah. Yeah. Say, did y'all hear? I'm the heir of Bezos. I'd be excited. Don't act like you wouldn't be excited about that. You're kidding yourself. Amen. And here we are. We have everything that heaven holds. Joint heirs with Christ. And people are mad about it. Whenever they sing about what the Lord's done for them, they sing like they can't wait for the song to be over. When they sat in the house of God and they listen to somebody preach about Christ, they're counting down the minutes till it's done. And when it shows up for worship, we're trying to figure out which one's more important, worshiping the Lord or beating the Methodists out to Garcia's. That don't make sense. It don't make sense. Like honestly, if the only thing we done this morning was lift up our hearts to God and say, God, I can't believe you paid off our debt the way you did. He did pay it off. Limited atonement is false. Listen, let me move on real quickly. How much time I got? Somebody tell me what time it is. Golly. Came and went. Let me give you 3 points real, 2 points real quick and I'm done. Irresistible grace. Listen, the way you know irresistible grace ain't there is in Acts chapter number 7. Stephen said, why do you resist always the Holy Ghost? I don't know how many verses I'd have, but that's a pretty good one. Don't you guess? Orpah obviously was bought and resisted what was done for. If you want to leave lost, you can leave lost. If you want to die and go to hell, you can die and go to hell. You can go there. But you're going there over the grace. Listen, then the last terminology would be this. Perseverance of the saints, they say, only the people who make it all the way to the end are truly the chosen of God. Again, going back to the life of Abraham, only problem with that is that's not what Lot did.
You're right.
Now I think you ought to work that thing out. They went out from us, they were not of us, they were of us, no doubt that continued with us. But make no mistake about it, you hear me and hear me well, whatever Christ does, he doeth it forever. That's what he said in the book of Ecclesiastes. You mark her down. That's what God said on the matter. And I'm simply saying this. If it was up to you and me, we'd have said, Lot, lost, and you're out. And God said, he's in. And listen to me. Don't nobody get hurt. I'm done right here. Don't nobody get hurt at me. But the judgment seat of Christ, it won't be the Baptist decide whether you get in or out. It won't be the Reformed Calvinist. It won't be the free will Arminius. It won't be the independent Baptist. It won't be none of those people determine whether you're in or out. They have no say on the matter. There's only one person determines that. Only one. And everything he says matches up with what he said in that Bible. And if he says you're in, guess what? You're in. It don't matter what anybody else says. And if he says you're out, guess what? You can protest as they did in Matthew 7. Say, Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name prophesied, in thy name done many wonderful works, in thy name cast out devils? He said, then I will profess unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. Don't matter if everybody else thinks you're saved if you ain't. That right? That ain't doubt. I mean, I'm just being honest. Look here. Everybody in this room could attest, and they'd be like, oh, Brother so-and-so's saved. We believe he's saved. We felt the Holy Ghost on him. Be careful what you feel and what you base that stuff on. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Said, oh, we know he's saved because of. Listen, the only thing you better base that on is what the Bible says. I'm done right there. Listen, there's 5 points to Calvinism. I reject all five of them. I'm not a one-point Calvinist, a two-point Calvinist, a three-point. If I could be a negative Calvinist, I'd be a negative Calvinist. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad it's whosoever will, let him come. Amen. I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning, and thank God. Ain't you glad? If you are saved, you ought to be glad about it.
Amen.
Come singing time, we ought to say, Lord, I hope they go into overtime. Praise God. Sing some more. All right, we'll be dismissed. Everybody like to, we'll have prayer rooms for everybody that'd like to pray. Men's will be down there on the left. Just take your time going that way because there is a class in the fellowship hall now.